To Hebrews chapter 13. This isn't part of the message, but while you're turning to Hebrews chapter 13, here at Bethel, since God has blessed us in some different ways with different ethnic groups coming to Bethel, I've been praying about how we can best explain the Word of God so everybody can understand to the best of their ability. And I think it would be wise to say to you all that God has been leading in a direction that there's two ways of growth in a church. One is through the preaching of the Word of God that you hear me do on Sunday morning, and then Pastor Unger do Sunday afternoon in the second service, and then Wednesday when I preach again. And the other way is to really sit down and do discipleship. So we'll use the preaching as the monologue of the service. That's one person getting up and preaching, and there's parameters around that, right? It's supposed to be a man according to the Word of God, and he's supposed to follow the qualifications as described in 1 Peter 5, 1 Timothy 3, and Titus, I think it's 2. He's supposed to follow those qualifications. However, we also see that there is a calling for all Christians, and that is to be allowed Christ to make them disciples. Okay? So right now we're trying to figure out a way that we can have a program for people that are mature Christians to teach others the Word of God. You say, I can't teach. Well, that's great. That's a great attitude to have, because Jesus didn't say that you won't catch the fish. He said he would make you the fisher of men. So that's a good attitude to start with. I can't do it. Yes, you can't. Now, come on and let's do this together. I can't do it either. But Christ is looking for a willing person. Secondly, if you're from a different ethnicity and you're looking at Pastor James and he's going all over the Bible, I actually do have a program where I teach from creation to Christ that teaches you systematically through the Word of God. So we've been trying to do that, but the last song kind of sums up my desire in today's sermon, and I keep on going back to this thought because I want to understand it to its fullness, and that is, obviously, in the last song, we're talking about seeing Christ face to face physically, right? And that's a great thing. But you do understand we as Christians can see Christ by faith, can enter into the throne room of God's grace through our prayers, and can be comforted in the times of trial in Christ. That's part of what salvation is. It's the opportunity to see Christ. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about visions. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit showing you through the Word of God and the teaching of God's Word, Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, we read this: by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So if we, of course, we all understand, because I've said it so many times, but if you didn't catch it, Hebrews is written to what people group? Hebrews, okay? The Israelites. So there's a lot of Old Testament language wrapped up in this book to show that Christ is the fulfillment of the shadows and types that are in the Old Testament, okay? So if you're along with me and established, we are in the Old Testament types and what they're describing about God's promise in Genesis 3:15 and how he is going to send a deliverer. Now the deliverer has come, and that deliverer has come, and he's saying there is still a way that you can offer me sacrifices, and that is through praise. So Spiros Zodiades says this about the offer of the sacrifice of praise. The only sacrifice that retained its permanence for the future was a sacrifice of praise to God continually, defined further as the fruit of our lips, which make confession of his name. So we can sacrifice as priests, and I'll get into that in a little bit. We can sacrifice as priests in one area. That's praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, praise is offering ourselves a living sacrifice. It's giving to others. It's having an attitude of thankfulness. This is all our opportunity as peculiar people to do a service that God is pleased by. Now, we see that in verse 12 of Hebrews 13 that Jesus has been doing a setting apart of the people with his own blood. How many setting apart? Sanctification means setting apart of something. We set apart time every Sunday to hear the preaching of God's word. We set apart special days during the year to celebrate birthdays, right? In the same way, God has set us apart through the means of his blood to be a special people for his service and his praise. Are we doing that? Well, if we're not, it's because we're not coming through him. We're not doing it by the means by which we can offer this. Praise of God is vital sacrifice that the New Testament saints give to the Lord. You don't have to turn here. I'm just going to keep you guys in Hebrews today. But 1 Peter 2 verses 5 and 9 show a certain position that all Christians have. Ye also are living stones that are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of that same chapter says, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what is our sacrifice as Christians? To continually give God the glory for everything that happens in our life. Well, there's bad things happening. God has a purpose for that. If you're a saved person, you are in a peculiar position under Christ. And he allows things to happen in your life to build you, not to break you. How are you going to respond to that? Well, you're going to have to come into this required ministry that he's given to all Christians in a particular way. And that particular way is in, again, Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him. So, this particular way that we go into our work as a chosen priesthood, a holy set apart people, people that have been translated from the kingdom of Satan and have been placed in the kingdom of God's dear son, there's a certain path in which we do our service to God. And it's always by and through him. Why? Why is the question? Well, first, the constitution of our praise. What is our praise and the ability of our praise and the ability to be this royal priesthood and this holy nation that's able to put up offerings of praise through the fruit of our lips, continually calling people to Christ? What does that look like? How can we do that? Well, the context of our praise is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, by this phrase, by him. It is through and because of Christ we can accomplish our priestly duty of praise. Now, the comparison between the Levitical ritual and Christ, the personal and perfect substitutional sacrifice. Let's compare the purpose of both. Let's compare the purpose of the Levitical ritual's purpose. It is to show, this is Levitical ritual's purpose, or the Old Testament, if you will, or the law, or the sacrificial system that took place for millennia. What is the purpose? What was to show shadows and types of heavenly realities. Right now we're in the covenant 2 with our teens. And we taught one point. That's all I could get through. And it was this. And we're talking about Abraham and Sarah giving birth to Isaac. And the point that God is shadowing through that is God is the only one that can give life to those that are dead. That's the shadow. That's the type. So Abraham is 99 years old. Sarah is 89. By the time they have Isaac, Sarah's 90 and he's 100. God gave them life to produce life. That's the type. So what is this? That family line that God had promised through Eve and then promised through Abraham would come through Isaac. And this is what one of the points of bringing Isaac so late upon the scene. The point was to show that God gives life to the dead. Now, that can cause us to praise. Maybe you're in a situation as a Christian where you see no hope. Remember, you serve a God that gives life to the dead. Let's compare the purpose. So Levitical ritual's purpose was to show shadows and types of heavenly realities. The purpose of Christ was to fulfill the law and establish the new promise or covenant by means of his blood. The accomplishment of this is because of his perfect humanity and his awesome divinity. God is truly the only God-man. Christ, because of this fact, is the perfect mediation between God and man. How many of you have ever had an issue with somebody that you couldn't just fix between two people? You had to bring in mediation. I find that many times parenting is mediation between two siblings. There's an argument between two siblings, and they have to call the parents in to mediate to bring the result that would be God glorifying in all of this, right? You moms that are homeschooling, you are mediators between education and child development, okay? Education and virtue teaching. We are the mediators of parents, as parents, between our children and virtue. We mediate, we teach, we train, we give our children the opportunity to understand virtue. In the same way, God is the mediator between God and man. He has this awesome responsibility to bring man to God. Now, the purpose of the mediation was to bring honor and a blood substitute for sin. Now, I said we'll stay in Hebrews, so turn over to chapter 8 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 8. In verse number 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts. Gifts means praise and sacrifice. Sacrifice is the blood substitution of an innocent substitute, a spotless substitute for the means of covering sin. Wherefore, it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. So we have this high priest in verse 1 of chapter 8 described as sitting at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So we have a high priest that is divine. But we have a high priest that came down and became the way of which his actions could bring praise to the Father and also could mediate a spotless substitute for our sins. It's very important that we understand that. Do you have a spotless substitute for your sins? If you do, you can have praise through Jesus Christ. Now, I love the last song that we sang. I love that song. But we don't have to wait till we see Christ to give him praise. We can give him praise through understanding what the Bible describes of Jesus Christ right now. So here he is as a perfect, perfect substitute. He's a perfect human substitute. Not only in his perfection as being our mediator because he's a perfect human, but he's also deserving of praise in his position as high priest. The primary purpose of mediation was the offer of the sacrifice. So the high priest would stand in the place of Israel or the offender, and he would offer a sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord that would cover the sins of the people. Of course, just a shadow and type of what was to come. So this is a personal purpose as high priest. As high priest, his primary purpose of mediation, again, was the offering of sacrifices. What did Christ do? Christ, as the high priest, offered himself as the perfect sacrifice. Why would Christ, as the high priest, offer himself as a perfect sacrifice? To personalize the nature of the high priest's ministry to those that believed in him. So what is happening here? Christ now, see, an animal's an animal. An animal's not, I know it's very politically incorrect to say animals are lower than people. But animals are not made in the image of God. So there is no transfer, nor would we want there to be a transfer of character between what was offered in the Old Testament transferred to us, because we're not animals. Christ came as a human, and he transferred to us his nature by his sacrifice when we put our full trust in him. That is worthy of praise. Are you praising God for the new nature that he's given to you in salvation? Are you complaining? I don't get to do this anymore, and I don't feel comfortable doing this anymore, and now that I'm a Christian, there's just all these things I can't do. Well, there should be a new nature in you saying there's a whole bunch of things you can do now because you're a Christian that are for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. You get to read your Bible and understand it now. Like, truly understand it with not just your eyes, but the Holy Spirit's leading. You get to have peace that passes all understanding in the midst of terrible situations because you have a high priest that has transferred his divine character into you through salvation. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. And we'll get into this at the end of the sermon a little bit more. Hebrews 8, 10 through 13. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So there's a way that you can see Christ right now because of the new nature. Christ will give you his very mind. He will give you his very direction. And as you compare scripture with scripture, you understand it's through the Holy Spirit's guidance of what his word says and what his word teaches. Verse 11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Now let me stop here. There are things that complement the Holy Spirit in his ministry through his will. And there's two things particular that complement him, the Holy Spirit. Well, three, if you want to get technical. One is the reading of God's word. As a Christian, you need to read God's word if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Two, the preacher and his preaching should help. And three, individual time with other believers in studying the word of God will help. But none of it should come from my personal opinion. It should come from the word of God. Do you understand what I mean by that? So I'm not teaching you, this is the right thing for you to do. You need to do this because that's my opinion. No, that's not what God is saying. He's saying a preacher is to preach the word of God. And we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 13 and later section that's why you're to submit to the preaching of the preacher if it's connected. And we're going to use a lot of scripture to explain this, if it's connected to the word of God, not if it's connected to my personal preferences. If it's connected to the word of God, then we should submit. Why? Because we're trying to connect the Christian to the word of God to protect his inner man from the desires of his flesh. There's a lot of desires that our flesh has as humans that aren't right. And it's a responsibility as a pastor to preach, if you have this desire, it's wrong according to the word of God. It puts the pastor in some embarrassing situations sometimes that he feels uncomfortable and just wants to turn his eye and not look at a decision that's unbiblical and just say, well, let them learn on their own. But that's not a pastor's job. A pastor's job is to warn and to love. So if I warn and you decide to go your own way and it's not a godly way, I still love. I still talk. I still plead. I still treat you the same. I don't demean you. I don't discard you. I don't say, well, you didn't do what I said and I proved it from the Bible. It's the right way, so you're done. That's not how a preacher acts. We love each other, but we warn with truth. So as we go through this and we understand this, we have this high priest that's going to do what? Well, he's going to put his teaching in every person. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sin and their iniquities while I remember no more. Isn't that a great promise? So when the devil comes up to you and says, oh, you've made this failure, and he tries to remind you, you're not praising God, and you're not doing your duty as a priest in offering an offering of praise to God by consistently saying to, you're right, Satan. Now, we would never do that, but we always think about our failures, don't we? And we always try to define ourselves by our failures. Now, this isn't the power of positive thinking. This is a godly principle. We don't waste our time thinking all the time about our failures. We praise the Lord and say, he's forgiven me all of my failures. I come to him, I repent so that fellowship can be close, but I'm not going to let Satan define me by my failures, because I'm useless to God if I consistently let Satan discourage me because of my failures. You're not going to grow that way. You're going to be very, very depressed. God, through Christ, through the ministry of the high priest, offering himself, has given full forgiveness to your sins. And this he hath said, verse 13 of Hebrews 8, a new covenant hath I made the first old. So through this new covenant, he's fulfilled everything that he was supposed to fulfill that was demanded for him to fulfill in the old covenant for the purpose of being the spotless substitute in human form, in perfect human form, yet also being divine in being that perfect substitute for the payment of sin. Praise the Lord for that. He's our payment for sin because he's perfect in his humanity and he's perfect in his priestly duties. And he's the perfect sacrifice because he's divine. So we don't have to wait to see him. We can praise him now. Are you praising God? Are you offering thanksgiving through your lips? Sometimes we don't because we just don't know how to, because we haven't put the time into the studying of the Word of God. So you get so overwhelmed with your situation that there's nothing to help give you foundation in your praise to God through those hardships. So the high priest of the old covenant could never unite their spirits with ours, empowering the people to have a new nature towards the things of God. Christ, however, gives us a personal accessibility to the things of God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 puts it like this: neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Means payment for sin for us. So here is Christ. He's opened up heaven to us by the complete payment for sin. The purchase price for the complete payment was his blood. His blood provided a path to God's grace and mercy. Remember from last week, Hebrews 2 verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto us, brethren, and that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of people. So we understand Christ's altar was a cross, and it is equivalent to the Day of Atonement, and was to show through the means of language to express the fulfillment of the Old Testament types, whether it be sheep, whether it be bulls, for the payment for sin. Hebrews 7, verse 27. So we're staying in Hebrews today. Verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. The word of the oath. Hey, I'm going to send to you through the woman a seed that will crush Satan's head. Hey, Abraham, to you I'm going to give you a seed that will be blessing all the nations. Those high priests of the Old Testament had weaknesses. They had sin. They had to offer a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement first for themselves before they could ever offer it for the people. But Christ is worthy of our lips giving him praise because he was perfect in his atoning, in his separating us from the consequences of our sin. He paid the full payment for sin on the cross because of his nature and who he is. So what constitutes our praise? Man, Christ. That's what constitutes our... How are you getting to know Christ? Are you doing studies of Christ? Are you doing studies of the pictures of Christ from the Old Testament? Are you doing studies of how Christ fulfilled those pictures? If we got serious about that, church, we would be a church filled with praising people that offered up a sweet-smelling savor to God through our praise. But the problem is, all of us at times in our life become so self-focused that we forget to study who Christ is. And we think that we are smart enough to demand how Christ should act instead of letting Christ show us who he is in the circumstance. Well, if Christ was like me, he wouldn't allow me to go through this circumstance. Well, I'm so glad Christ isn't like me, because he could never have paid for my sin if he was. I can trust him. We don't come to Christ for the purpose of manipulating him. We come to Christ so that he can fulfill his purpose in us. And let me be very practical here. That's why we have such a problem praising him through hard times. Because we think that we can manipulate Christ to follow our plans instead of being an offering of praise to him through our lives. We all need to pray for each other on this. So here's Christ coming to his altar, the cross. Here he is being able to be that perfect sacrifice that needed no one, needed no sacrifice for himself in order to fulfill this. So it was necessary that the patterns of these things in heaven, in the heaven, should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What is that saying? All the instruments that represented the spiritual reality in the Old Testament, guess what they had to be? Purified with the spotless substitute. The blood had to be sprinkled. Man, that system was just a bloody system with blood everywhere. Why? Because those shadows were earthly. And they couldn't represent and they could not replace the heaven realities that they were meant to be a light to the Israelites to. The only person that could give us the reality of the heavenly truths is Christ himself on the altar of the cross. Have you come to that altar? Have you come to that altar and laid your burden of sin at the foot of that altar? Have you come to the cross through the drawing of the Holy Spirit, seeing Christ lifted up as the only means of payment for your sin? If not, then you're under the law. And you have no reason to praise anything. If you have, you have every reason on this earth to praise God because your sin debt has been paid for. Christ, as our high priest, didn't go into a holy place made with hands. He didn't just go into the place that were the figures of truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year, but with the blood of others. For then must he had often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away the sins by the sacrifice of himself. Now these verses show Christ's the substitute, and it even shows the means of substitution is a blood sacrifice. Why is that? Because Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for soul." So we also see he was a willing offering. He willingly gave his life. Just as a sheep willingly gives its life for the master and allows him to cut its neck. And in some cases, I've heard testimony of people that were going into a factory that slaughtered lambs and had to quit because they said when they slaughtered and they cut the lamb's neck, the lamb would lick its own blood off the person that slit its necks. Lambs are very gentle. They're very meek. They give themselves. If they trust you, they give themselves to the shepherd. They totally trust in the shepherd. What did Christ do? He willingly gave his life for us because it was the will of his Father to do so. Totally trusting in his Father's plan. Man, this is powerful because Christ gave himself for you. Do you understand that? So when you're being tempted to not give yourselves for others, remember you have a Savior that gave himself for you. And we have the ministry of giving him praise through that. So Christ's sacrifice was permanent. The Levitical sacrifice is perpetual, over and over and over again. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Hebrews 9 and verse 6. Hebrews 9, 6 says, "But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. He is the establisher of things that are established on eternal promises." The Levites perpetually gave sacrifices. Sorry, Hebrews 9:6. I wrote 8:6. Hebrews 9:6. "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God." So what is this? They're always perpetually going into the first tabernacle, doing the things for God. But Christ has a permanent sacrifice that needed to be given only once. Hebrews 7, verse 27. Hebrews 7, verse 27. Again, who needeth, Hebrews 7, 27, "who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." Christ's sacrifice only needed to be done once. It's permanent. The effects of his sacrifice are permanent. Chapter 9, verse 12, "Neither by the bulls, the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Verse 25 of Hebrews 9, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others." Verse 28. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Are you getting the point? You just had to see Christ. His offering only had to be once. Totally accepted by God. Not this perpetual, over and over and over again. So the conclusion is Christ's sacrificial purpose is perfect for salvation. Therefore, it makes us offer praise. The price and focus for praise. My goodness. I'm never going to get done with Hebrews. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I just want to see you better through your word and through the drawing of the Holy Spirit and through the teaching of the Holy Spirit and through the preaching of Spirit-filled men that uplift you and your word. God, I know it was kind of a repeat of last week, but it's been such a powerful thought in my life of seeing you in all your power and glory. God, is it our desire to see Christ? Or is it our desire to fulfill our lustly pleasures? God, help us as we go for a time of fellowship at this time. Help us to enjoy each other's company. Help us to praise the Lord in praising of the situations He allowed in our lives this week. God, may we earnestly pray for one another in Jesus' name. Amen. 163 for closing hymn.